Hello and welcome to today's Partner Infopedia web conference. This is Block Apps on Azure, Rapid Development of Ethereum Enterprise Blockchain Applications. Presenting with us today from Block Apps, we have Victor Wong, who's the CEO, and we have John Crane, who's the head of user experience. Now, without any further delay, it is my pleasure to hand you over. Victor, you now have the floor.
Hi there. Thank you, Debbie, and thank you all of you for joining us today. So we have a fairly long presentation, but we're open to asking questions, and please just type them in the conversation window. We'd like this to be a highly interactive session. I'm Victor Wong. I'm founder and CEO of Block Apps. Block Apps is a blockchain infrastructure company, and we'll talk to you more about how blockchain can be applied broadly to a wide variety of industries. So let's get started. So the Block Apps mission is to provide tools and knowledge to power blockchain applications and businesses. What we believe is that blockchains are a technology that can be applied to a wide number of industries, and that businesses, like a database, businesses won't simply need a blockchain. You'll need to build applications on top of it. Finally, we want to provide that core infrastructure for businesses and partners to build these industry-specific applications. One way to think of our business model and our company is we're like Oracle for blockchains. Now, we asked a polling question on who has heard of a blockchain. So let's give a little bit of a starter piece on what is a blockchain. First and foremost, if you've heard of public blockchains like Bitcoin or Ethereum, you should know that blockchains are the technology that power those cryptocurrencies. So what we're talking about is that core technology. And at the most basic level, that core technology is a cryptographically secured distributed ledger. It's a highly specialized form of database that effectively is used to track unique assets. Transactions on blockchain are kept permanently, and so you cannot change or alter the record, historical record of a blockchain, and they're signed using public key cryptography. Then we take all these transactions and we order them in a series of blocks. In a typical network, like our public network, like the Ethereum network, every block is reviewed by many participants. These are multiple computers on the network, and they all run software that help the entire network confirm what is happening on that blockchain. So unlike a typical database, a transaction is not considered accepted until the network agrees that it's been accepted. And they do this via a consensus algorithm that has data inside, and each of the nodes have all the same amount of data, and they all effectively vote. Okay, and lastly, the blocks, at least on current public blockchains, are not easily produced. So nodes on a public blockchain perform complex calculations that is typically called mining. And this mining effectively gives them the right to vote on which blocks are accepted. This provides a measure of spam or civil tolerance. Now, in the blockchain ecosystem, there are many different types of blockchains. The first and foremost of what you probably are aware of is the public blockchains like Bitcoin or Ethereum. These are trustless blockchains because anyone can join. Anyone can download the software and simply run it on your computer, and you will have a full copy of all the history on the network. These, in order to ensure the integrity of the network, they have to make it very difficult for the nodes to participate. And as I mentioned, they use mining. These are algorithms that are very complex and cost expensive in terms of electricity to run. And the examples, of course, are Ethereum and Bitcoin. Now, there are also, what has gotten the most interest lately is consortium blockchains. You may have heard last week or the week before, Satya Nadella announced a partnership between Microsoft and the banking consortium R3 that is using blockchains to help banks help consolidate records amongst each other. These are also known as permission blockchains. Effectively, not everyone can join. Only the people who are allowed to participate in that consortium are allowed to join. Because of this, only verified participants are allowed to publish blocks, and they can be faster because you don't have to make the computation or the voting ability as expensive on the public blockchains because you're aware of who's participating. Lastly, we have private blockchains. Private blockchains are, we also call them permission blockchains or sandboxes. These are usually single node networks that are designed primarily for development of blockchain applications. We currently have a private blockchain sandbox ready for one-click deployment on Azure, and John will demo that shortly. Someone has asked about the IBM-led blockchain and the Hyperledger Consortium. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the presentation. Now, effectively, there are two dominant kinds of blockchains out there. There are UTXO-type blockchains, which are based on the Bitcoin protocol. And the Bitcoin protocol is effectively limited. You can only track how much money or digital currency that any particular participants have. The Ethereum blockchain that we primarily work on has shifted this for protocol based around smart contracts. Smart contracts are effectively computer programs that can determine the distribution of tokens or currency by computational rules. So effectively, you can think of a Bitcoin blockchain is more like a calculator or a simple spreadsheet, where the Ethereum blockchain is more like a computer. It runs computer programs in order to distribute tokens or currencies to various participants. Because the Ethereum contract is smart contract enabled, this allows it to actually apply to a broad number of use cases outside of finance. So some of these use cases that we've been working on include things like artist rights and IP management, supply chain, healthcare, identity. So one challenge with most enterprises when they're starting to think about their blockchain strategy is how can they get started on the blockchain? It's very complicated and very difficult because what we call the blockchain is actually not one set of technologies, but a series of interconnected overlapping technologies that all have to work together perfectly in order to produce these effects. Now, typically, most companies, what they would have to do in order to get started with the blockchain is they would set up an innovation lab, hire up teams of cryptographers, developers, security experts, and then they would start, you know, just trying to get their blockchain set up. Or what you could do is you could use BlockApps. BlockApps is a scalable Ethereum-compliant platform for the rapid development, deployment, and management of blockchain applications. And this platform enables enterprises to develop early proofs of concepts and scales all the way to full production systems. Effectively, what BlockApps does is it takes the time of getting your first blockchain up and running and getting an environment so you could start building applications from months down to minutes. At this point, I'm going to hand over the presentation to our user experience architect, John Crane, who will walk you through how easy it is to get started building an Ethereum application on BlockApps. John?
Thanks so much, Victor. I'm just going to take over the screen quickly.
All right, John, it's loading up.
All right. Thanks so much, Debbie.
All right, and there we go.
Okay, great. So here we are with the Azure Marketplace. And as Victor mentioned, we have our initial offering up here. So let's do a search for blockchain. You can see here we have the BlockApps Strato instance. So I'm going to go ahead and create one of these virtual machines.
Yeah, John, just to let you know, we're still loading from our side, so you might want to wait a few more minutes before it comes up.
Okay.
Yeah, I think some of the participants are still waiting for it.
Gotcha.
John, maybe start slowly and then hopefully the servers will catch up.
Okay. All right, so here you have just a brief intro about the Strato instance. I'm gonna go ahead and create one of these. And just so everyone knows, it's not terribly different from launching any other instance on Azure. So I'm gonna go ahead and give it a name. We'll just call this Blockchain Dev. I'm going to specify a username of Block Apps. Enter a password for my virtual machine. Specify a resource group and click OK. Next, I'll be prompted to pick a size. Since this is a demo, go ahead and pick something not too large. If you're, you know, running something in production, you might want to pick a slightly larger instance. And I'm just going to go ahead and accept these default settings. We have a review screen here. I'm just going to go ahead and accept these. And finally, I'm going to click purchase. So as you can see up here, I'm currently deploying my virtual machine. And just so we all don't have to wait around, I have an existing deployment up and running over here that I'm going to use for the demo. So as Victor mentioned, Block Apps provides a one-click deploy that has an Ethereum-compliant single node blockchain running. And we typically use these for development. It has a number of features that are better than developing on sort of a live net. One of them being you can have instant confirmations of transactions. And this is going to really speed up the development process. On Ethereum, you have about a 10 to 15 second block time. But even that can be a little tedious when you're developing and want to rapidly prototype something. So in addition to that, I'm going to go ahead and demo a tool we have, Block. So Block is a command line tool and an application framework for building and deploying blockchain applications and working with smart contracts on the Ethereum network. So I have an already scaffolded application over here. As you can see, it's a pretty standard node application. You have an app.js, you know, Bower file, grunt file. And I'm just going to go ahead and take a look in this app directory. And probably the more interesting directory we have in here is this contracts directory. So if we take a look, here we have some smart contracts that ship with your install of Block. So when you create a new application, you're going to get these smart contracts right out of the box. And I'm going to go ahead and take a look at this payout smart contract. Bump up the font size for you guys out there. And so what we see here is it's a file called payout.sol. And this sol indicates that this is a Solidity file. So Solidity is the where it's one of the smart contract languages that you can run on the Ethereum virtual machine. And as we can see, it's got a syntax that's pretty similar to JavaScript or Go, you know, very readable. And this is one of the main differences between programming for Ethereum and programming for Bitcoin. With Bitcoin, you're going to need to really understand a lot of the Bitcoin opcodes. You know, they don't really have an abstracted language quite like this. And with Ethereum, so we will take something like this, compile it down into bytecode, and then deploy that to the virtual machine. So in this payout contract, you can see we have a pretty simple contract. So the idea here being that, Block Apps, as a lean startup, we decided instead of, spending lots of money on legal fees, we would just go ahead and code our revenue share into a smart contract that lived on the Ethereum blockchain. So you can see we have some addresses, and then we're going to specify ownership distribution. And then we have a function down here that runs a dividend. And thankfully, Victor's letting me present, so I'm actually going to go ahead and just cut myself into this smart contract. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to actually use Block to quickly generate. I'm going to generate a key that I can put into that smart contract. And we're going to call this. So I'm going to block gen key for user John. What this is going to do is it's going to generate a public and private key pair, and it's going to encrypt my public key or my private key with the password I just entered there. So now that I have this address I just generated, I can actually go ahead and drop it into this smart contract over here. So I'm going to go ahead and give myself, I don't know, let's say 10%. I'm sure Victor and Jim won't mind sharing their ownership distribution with me for doing this demo.
I can live with 10%, John, but
all right. More than that, please. You're too kind. All right, and let's do a double check. So I initialized my address. I actually set it up here with the correct address. I set the ownership distribution, and I've also cut myself in the dividend function. So let's go over here, and I should just make sure this is saved. Sure thing it is. All right, and now I'm going to block compile payout. So what this is going to do is it's going to read the Solidity source file, and then we can see that it generated another file. So it reads the source, it generates bytecode that we're going to deploy to the Ethereum the Ethereum virtual machine, and then I'll actually be able to interact with this contract. So now that the contract's compiled, I'm going to block upload payout, and this is going to prompt me for my password. And the reason it's doing this is I'm actually signing a transaction that's getting pushed onto the network. All right. So we can see that we actually wrote a you can see that here's the address of the contract. And I'm actually going to head over to the browser and take a look at this. So one of the features and improvements that the Block App Strato Ethereum node provides is a fully RESTful API. So this makes interacting with the Ethereum virtual machine, just like working with any other web service. So we have a full REST API, and here I went to the account route and queried by this address. So what this is the Solidity that I just wrote actually deployed onto this single node network I have running here. So now that I have the contract compiled, I'm going to head over to my terminal, and I'm going to kick off the Node.js server that ships with Block. All right, we should be up and running. Actually, and we can see here is my compiled contract. Here's the JSON, but I'm actually interested in this HTML route. So Block actually provides the actual JSON of the compiled contract, or you can take a look at the HTML, and it's going to give you sort of a generated UI based on the fields that were in your contract. So as we can see here, here's the address of my uploaded contract, and we have two different form fields: a setup and dividend. So if we look at the contract itself, we can see that we have a setup function and the dividend function. So this is very easy when you're working on new contracts. You're going to want to be able to send Ether to a certain function, maybe send in different addresses. So this is all built on the fly. If I added a function, I would just recompile, and you would see that show up here. So I'm going to go ahead and run this setup function and send in maybe 4 Ether. So let's run setup. Let's see. There might be a little bit of network lag. Maybe I need a page refresh. Aha, that did the trick. All right, so now you can see the contract's balance is 4, and we actually have those addresses initialized here. So let's go ahead and take a look at the John address I created. So here's, I entered the public address, and we have the API's response. So when I created that key, what happened behind the scenes was that the API was notified that I was creating a new test address. So it actually put a little bit of Ether into this address so you can work with contracts, compile and deploy them. And we call this the faucet. So Block hit the faucet and generated a new address for me. So now that I've actually initialized the contract and given the contract an actual balance here, I can run the dividend function. And what this is going to do is take that 4 Ether and divide it up in between the 4 parties. So as you might recall, I gave myself 10%. So when I run this dividend function, we should see my balance over here increase with the amount specified. So I'm going to run that dividend function. Maybe do another refresh. And as you can see, the contract's balance is now 0. So just like we specified in Solidity, we went and we took the balance of the contract and we split it up in between the 4 stakeholders that we had here. So now I'm going to come back over to the REST API, do a quick refresh, and you can see that my balance has indeed increased. So those are the basics of developing smart contracts with Ethereum and with your Strato blockchain. This is obviously a very simple example of a smart contract, but that's one of the nice features of Ethereum and Solidity is there's a full programming language. So sort of the sky is the limit with the type of applications that you want to develop. Victor, is there anything you wanted to add there?
No, that was great. Thank you, John.
Sure.
So I think it's time you need to go back to the slides and hand
right,
the presentation
yeah.
back to me. We have some great questions coming up in the conversation window. I'll try and address that as we continue on with the presentation.
And Victor, the deck is loading here. There it is. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. Okay, let's jump right back. Sorry to anyone who had technical troubles seeing the demo. So to understand the Block Apps technology platform, we're a full application platform. John today showed you that the Block tool, and that's to design applications. Once you've designed those applications on the top, then you can connect to effectively different types of blockchains. And let me explain how that works. We are the team behind the Haskell Ethereum public implementation. We were the only team that was completely separate from the Ethereum Foundation and create our technology from the start. That allowed us to create a more modular version that we call Strato. Strato effectively is designed for enterprises, and it handles two main issues for enterprises. It connects to legacy systems and existing devices via a RESTful API that John showed, and it allows various customizations. So, for example, you can tune your consensus algorithms to have faster block times and greater numbers of transactions. So it scales both from the number of devices that each individual node can handle, but also can scale in types in terms of the transaction processing speed of the network. In addition to Block, we have other application SDKs. So we have a mobile tool in development that we call Nimbus, and we recently announced at the Microsoft Build Conference we're connecting to a Solidity compiler that's built directly in on the Visual Studio Marketplace. So it can tie directly into your Visual Studio workflow. You can work from there and start building blockchain applications that way. So we've been working with various companies, and I just wanted to give you a flavor of how blockchains can be applied to various problems. Now, one thing about blockchains and smart contracts in particular is that once something is placed on the blockchain, it's available publicly for all the participants of that blockchain to see. Now, this is a challenge in many business environments because you may have contracts between various partners where you don't want all of your competitors to see the terms of those contracts. You may only want them to see when that trade has actually been executed. This is architecture that we designed particularly for that use case. So in this case, you can see that various corporations are connected to a consortium blockchain. All the information on that consortium blockchain will be public to everyone. And then there are also what we're calling partner blockchains that connect individual corporations together. So there they can keep the terms of all their contracts. These will remain private between the two parties. And then when they've executed a contract on that partner blockchain, it will push a summary detail of the results onto the consortium blockchain. This is just one example in one industry of how this can be used. So we've talked about our product Strato. What are the key features of Strato? Firstly, it's designed for vertical and horizontal scaling, as I previously mentioned. Vertical scaling is on the transaction volume layer. We can reach several thousand transactions per second, and each individual node can handle many, many thousands of users. So on a multi-network deployment, you don't necessarily need the typical blockchain infrastructure of a individual node per user. One node can support many users. Secondly, we provide rapid deployment on existing infrastructure providers like Microsoft Azure. As you can see, you can set up your first blockchain environment in a couple minutes. Thirdly, we have developed in the programming language Haskell for proven reliability in financial applications. I'll expand on that a little bit more in the presentation. We provide enterprise connectors. The RESTful API is the first of them, but we are working on other connectors to provide directly into common enterprise systems. One example that we're working on is SharePoint integration. We scale easily from a private sandbox to a full consortium deployment to what we call a hybrid deployment. So in some cases, we've had requests where people wanted to have most of their logic would exist on a consortium blockchain, but they might want to post various elements of that information onto the public blockchain. And our technology allows you to do that. The important note here is the applications that you build are separate from the blockchain networks that they run on. So you can fully write an application, give it to your team to do that, and then you can decide that you want to run up a consortium network of, say, 100 nodes, and by simply changing the URL in your application, it will run seamlessly on that 100-node network. Lastly, we have friendly and flexible enterprise licensing and support. We'll talk a little bit more about that in detail in a few slides. So let's talk about Haskell. Haskell is the programming language that all of our core infrastructure is written on. That does not mean in order to use the Block Apps application stack, you have to understand Haskell. I just want you to understand it so you can see the kind of advantages that our stack being built on this will provide you and your clients. Firstly, Haskell has proven reliability. It's the origins of Haskell are from high-level mathematics, and this kind of makes it a perfect language for financial applications like blockchains. A growing number of companies in data-focused enterprises have decided to adopt Haskell, and these include, you know, banks like Standard Chartered, JP Morgan, and Bank of America, who are running very, very large-scale production systems on Haskell. Secondly, it's very powerful when it comes to scalability. Because it's built as a mathematical language, it actually scales to a large number of machines without having to rewrite, and it compiles to very extremely efficient programs. And lastly, it is very good for reliable and rapid prototyping. Because it's functional and type safe, it allows us to make changes to complex systems like our blockchain applications without having to worry that it will break existing processes. In the Haskell world, there's a saying that if the code compiles, it is correct, meaning that if the code compiles, it will run without very odd effects. So if you know anything about the blockchain world, you know that there is a huge demand, at least in the financial industry right now. Though we are seeing clients in other industries, and I'll talk a little bit about that later on in the presentation. First of all, many banks, I believe the number is now 45 banks have joined the R3 banking blockchain consortium. And as I mentioned before, Satya Nadella announced a strategic partnership with this consortium. So we can see there's a huge amount of interest and movement in the banking area. In addition, Visa, NASDAQ, Amex have all announced blockchain-based initiatives. Just the other day, I saw that Disney had announced a blockchain-based initiative. So you can see this is spreading from beyond pure financial applications into many other types of applications. And Microsoft has partnered with us and our incubated company, our parent company, Consensus, to deploy these blockchain tools. And you can see that there's a huge amount of investment in the space. Probably the ones you've heard of are Blockstream, which has several of the core developers from Bitcoin. They raised $56 million. Digital Assets Holding, which is run by a former JP Morgan exec, has raised over $60 million. And Chain.com has raised over $30 million. So let's talk about the various competitions. This has come up a little bit. So let's talk about this in a little bit more detail. First of all is the Ethereum Foundation itself. Their product is called Go, the Go client, which is called Geth, and it is fully Ethereum compatible. Now, one thing that you should understand is that in the blockchain space, most of these technology solutions are GPL, and this has some problematic effects for many corporations who want to build additional software on top of it, and we'll talk about that later. So the Geth client is GPL. Eris, which is a fork of Ethereum, their product is called ErisDB, is no longer fully compliant with the public Ethereum network, so they don't take advantages of the continual development that the Ethereum network is doing, and it's also GPL. Digital Asset Holdings, which is the company started by the former JP Morgan exec, their product is called Hyperledger. It's not Ethereum compatible. It's basically UTXO-based, which is Bitcoin, and their licensing bundle is currently unknown. There have been a couple questions asked about IBM's blockchain product. IBM's blockchain product is also not Ethereum compatible, and one thing is that when things they seem to have followed sort of a hybrid model between UTXO and Ethereum. Now, one thing to understand is right now there are only two very well-established proven models of blockchains that worked in wide-scale deployment on a public blockchain. Those are Bitcoin, and the second one is Ethereum, which has been running for the last 8 months. Both of these are proven to be effective in this large-scale, wide-level deployment, and IBM's solution looks very interesting, but we're not sure about how it will scale to a wide-level deployment yet. It one thing that they've chosen to do is effectively run a UTXO-based blockchain and move their contract processing off to separate nodes that they call chain code nodes. Now, we believe that on the Ethereum, smart contract is written directly to the blockchain, which offers greater transparency and more reliability, we feel, over the long term. Chain.com is another UTXO-based company, and they are not Ethereum and Ethereum smart contract compatible. And lastly, we have block apps. So our products are Strato and Ethereum H. We are fully Ethereum compatible, and we offer Apache 2 and closed source licensing for our products. So why is there some questions around GPL copyleft licensing? Open source GPL licenses are known as copyleft. So unlike traditional software licenses, copyleft licenses are what we call viral and extend to any code around it. So let's say your company is trying to build an application on a particular blockchain product. A GPL license, beginning from a GPL infrastructure product would mean that GPL product, that GPL license would extend to anything you build on top of it. And effectively, what this means is that all of your code that you're creating, even if you wanted it to be proprietary, you would effectively have to make that all open source. So for this reason, many public software companies actually refuse to put anything in their product that is under a GPL license. In fact, Cisco ran afoul of this with some router software lately. So they had built a bunch of software that was proprietary for their routers, and because they had included a library that was GPL, they had to effectively open source their entire router software stack. So one of the things as block apps, I just want to give you an idea of who we're working with. I can't talk about specific examples because we're NDA, but I just wanted to give you a general idea. Currently in our sales pipeline, we have over 175 companies, and the majority of these companies are Fortune 1000. We've demoed to more than a third of them, and we are in active negotiations with about 24 companies. And we have closed four deals. We have actually started to work on projects inside several companies now. On the development side, we have implemented over 30 blockchains. That includes individual nodes and full networks. These blockchains have deployed over 300 smart contracts, and there have been over 20,000 transactions occurring on these private blockchains. In addition, I'd like to highlight that we have interest from a wide variety of sectors. In addition to finance, which I would say is about 80% of our interest right now, we are also actively exploring projects in healthcare, energy, supply chain, identity, IoT, just to name a few. So how could you work with block apps? Firstly, we offer enterprise software licensing. So we offer a typical SaaS software as a service license on the Azure platform. So you can get started with that immediately. But we also offer managed software licenses where you can either do cloud deployments or local deployments for in data center deployments that you would like us to manage. And we will manage that blockchain and make sure it's available and updated to the latest software as it increases. Secondly, we offer technology consulting. So we basically can provide our services to help you build proof of concepts. Thirdly, we provide education workshops. So these include workshops for the business C-level suite to understand the disruptive nature of blockchain technology widely across their business and industries, but also we do developer training. And in fact, with many of the partners we work with, we provide that developer training as a sales empowerment tool so they can understand the tools and bring that to their clients directly. And lastly, we work with partners in various sectors to create applications that they can bring to a wide variety of partners. Now, one of the things that we've focused on is right now, this year that we've seen amongst our clients is that this is the year of the POC, the proof of concept. Many people want to dive in and start building these early proofs of concepts. But we've already laid in our product roadmap a way to seamlessly bring those proof of concepts to test deployment networks and all the way to full production systems. Now, who are we currently working with? We were incubated by a company named Consensus, and they are still our dominant partner. We work with Consensus very closely. They are a decentralized application studio, which works on a variety of different applications in, for example, music, capital markets, and they also have an enterprise arm. So they allow us to provide resources for companies that want to start building right away. Obviously, Microsoft is our favorite partner. We're on Azure, we're on the Visual Studio Marketplace, and you'll see a lot more integrations into the Microsoft ecosystem very, very shortly. And we're also working with, you know, enterprise partners like Red Hat and Ubuntu to make sure that when enterprises have systems that are powered on more open source software, that we can support them as well. And we've started to work with system integrators like Cognizant, but we're very, very open to work with other system integrators and partners to bring our solutions to their clients. This is the Block F team. We're still a startup. So actually, we've added an extra person who's not on the slide right now, Lior Sar. Block F is a very interesting combination between what I like to say, math geniuses and experienced entrepreneurs. Almost all of our development team has graduate degrees or postdocs in math or high-level physics. The reason for this is that, you know, blockchains are primarily a math and cryptography-based technology. So it's very important to us that we have high-level thinkers in that area. On the other side, we have people that have a lot of experience on both the capital market side. My background is consumer technology in web and mobile. So a couple of key milestones on the Block App side is we started the Ethereum Haskell client over a year ago back in 2014. This was before the Ethereum public network even launched. In 2015, we joined the Consensus Incubator, and since then, we've been working very closely with them. So you may hear announcements where you hear various companies talking with Consensus or talking with Block Apps. You can effectively say those are interchangeable because Block Apps is powering almost all the enterprise engagements that Consensus is currently offering. So we're like the core infrastructure provider for most of the Consensus engagements. In August 2015, the Live Ethereum Network launched. So far, we have not seen any hacks or anything that has caused that network's problems. It's been a very, very smooth launch. In October 2015, the winner of the Barclays Hackathon was built on Strato. This is very interesting because at the product, we had not even launched it publicly yet. We had actually launched it on a private hackathon, and someone took our technology and won this hackathon with it. In 2015, we announced our partnership with Microsoft at the DevCon conference in London. I was on stage with Marley Gray. It was very, very exciting. In 2016, we became the first certified blockchain provider by Microsoft on the Azure platform. We have also partnered with, that same month, we partnered with Red Hat to deploy our services on their OpenShift platform. And that same month, we were at World Mobile Congress, where we announced a partnership with Ubuntu to do biometric security wallets for their phones. And you might have heard most recently, we were at Microsoft Build a couple weeks ago, announcing our Visual Studio integration and further partnership into the Microsoft ecosystem. So that is the end of my presentation. I would love anyone here, if they have more questions or want to learn more about how to work with Block Apps, how their companies or their clients can work with them, please email me directly. We'd love to talk to you more and understand your businesses better. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Victor. So a couple things, folks. I've posted the survey link here in the IM window. Please take a moment to fill it out. We would love to get your feedback. Click the link, enter your email, and you'll be taken to the survey. 5 questions. Voting scale is on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the best. Be sure to click on the submit button at the bottom to ensure that your feedback has been received. And with that, either Victor or John, any final words before I conclude today's recording?
No, not at all. We're really excited about talking to many of you. You guys seem very excited in the conversation window, so I hope to follow up with you and talk to you in person soon.
Excellent. All right. Thanks so much, Victor. So, ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's Partner Infopedia web conference. Again, you'll be able to get to the on-demand recording on worldwide events within 24 hours. I'd like to extend a big thank you to our presenters, Victor and John from Block Apps, and thank you, audience, for logging in and joining us today.